Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Portions of today's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recording.
Hello, Chicago!
Will you go out there and have some fun and have a few laughs, please?
No, have fun first and then have a few laughs.
These are exactly the kind of go-getters I want working on my EM50 project in Italy.
Major snowstorms, especially in Chicago, Illinois as well. Blowing a drift of snow, they'll be creating lots of snow drifts on the ground in Chicago, Illinois as well.
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Saturday night, I'm looking outside. I don't see a cloud in the sky. Well, I really can't see anything from the 18th floor here at 303 Wacker. Hope you're having a good night. We're here until 9 o'clock. Merrill Hodge will join us at 8:35 to talk Championship Sunday. If you're an NFL fan, tomorrow is such a great day. We got a game at 2 o'clock. We got a game at 5:40. That's what it's all about. You're going to hunker down. And my son has a basketball game at 3 o'clock. Jeez, why would they do that? I got to talk to the coach. Also at 7:30, if you've never seen Pat Tomasulo's show, it's on Saturday nights. It's called Man of the People on WGN-TV. And we will have VIP tickets to sit in the audience. They tape on Fridays. Pat will join us at 7:35. We'll have a pair of VIP tickets to give away. But first, from WGN-TV, let's bring up the weatherman over there. It's Mike Jansen. Mike, I'm looking outside. I don't see anything. It looks very pleasant right now.
Okay, sure. Exactly what you want. We have to wait. We have to wait on this one. You know, there is some flurries. There are some snow showers that are out there right now. But that's not really the band of lake effect snow we do expect to develop later on this evening and continue through the overnight hours. And really expect the heaviest of the snow to come probably in downtown Chicago between, say, 11 o'clock this evening and about 5:30, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. But another 2 to 5 inches of accumulation are possible. And then you throw in these strong winds of 30, 35 mile per hour wind gusts, and you've got some drifting and blowing that are possible. And you're also talking about the wind chills that are down maybe 15 below for some folks in the outlying areas. So just a real pleasant January night for us.
I have a dog, and I live in the city, so that means I have a small yard, so I have to walk my dog, especially in weather like this. The wind today, what was the wind gust today? Because it was blowing in my face. I'm like, oh, my God. And we haven't even hit the cold stuff yet.
Yeah, we already had 35 mile an hour wind gusts. So that just adds to the cold that is out there. And things are going to get even worse, even though we're talking about the wind dying down eventually as we get toward tomorrow night. I'm glad the kids don't have to go to school, because for some places on the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, that morning we're talking about wind chills that could approach 15, maybe 20 degrees below zero.
Okay.
That's just not a great morning for the kids to go out and try to wait for the school bus stop by any means.
No. When we have a weekend coming up like this, how do you prepare? Because we knew about this last Monday, and you knew that you were going to be on TV, on WGN-TV on Saturday night. Are you thinking, okay, this is what I have to do, I got to prepare, or I'm watching Skilling, or Tom was on vacation this week, Demetrius Ivory was in.
Are you? Tom, I think, was in Hawaii or something.
Yes,
like that.
Tom's in Hawaii. Okay.
So he cheated, and he left us. I just take it day by day. I continue to look at things, even when I have my days off, which are Mondays and Tuesdays. Those are my weekends.
Right.
I will still kind of look over the different computer forecasting models and keep an eye on what is going on. But actually, last weekend, I made the comment to my co-anchors and said, actually, with Jackie Bang, with who I was working with on Sunday, I said, you know, that big coat you keep in the back of the closet, you only get out a few times a year.
Yep.
That's the one you need to start looking for as we head towards what was this weekend we are now in. And sure enough, here's the cold air. And you know, like the snow tonight, some of us may get really smacked with it. You get up tomorrow morning, you may have to shovel, you may have to run that snow blower. If you get, say, 2 to 5 inches of snow, all of us have to deal with the cold.
You know,
you got the warming centers that are open and all that kind of stuff to try and escape that.
We're talking with Mike Jansen from WGN-TV. We had Demetrius Ivory on last night, and he was talking about the four or five different models that he was looking at. Why are there so many?
It's good to have them, though.
Well, there's always one that is... There's always one that's way off. It's like we're going to see 5 to 10 inches or 1 inch.
That happens, but it's kind of like when I give school talks, when I go and talk to, say, fourth graders, and I tell them, you have to do a report on anything, doesn't matter what it is. Do you go to the library and pull one source, one, say, encyclopedia? You open it up and you read something on the subject and say, yep, that's exactly what's going to happen. And you write that down, and that's the report you turn in. So, no, you go and find other sources.
Yeah,
you were talking about that one. It's that one computer model. It's a little off. I sometimes compare that to when I was a kid as well, and asking my grandfather a question, and he gives you one of those grandfather answers that's way off just because he wants to tease you.
Right.
So then you have to go to another source and find what you know is more truthful. That, again, though, if there are, say, four computer models that I'm looking at, and you say one of them is way off, the thing that can be almost, you want to make pull your hair out, is that particular model that was way off this time, next time around, it may perform better than the other ones.
So it rotates.
So you can't discount any of them.
Got it. It's interesting because we talked about this last night, too. When we were kids, when there was a big snow coming, it's like, okay, there's going to be a big snow. We'll prepare for it. You know, we'll shovel in the morning. Now it's like, oh, my God, you got to go to the store. You got to stock up. It's Snowmageddon. It's not like we're living in the country. We live in the city. We're in a metropolitan area. People are freaking out over, you know, today wasn't that bad when I woke up this morning. So what do we have? 6-8 inches of snow that I had to shovel? Not a big deal on the streets. They did a fantastic job downtown. I don't know about the burbs, but they were clear. The main arteries were clear right away.
You know, for me, it's different. I actually grew up in the country. I grew up in southwestern Kankakee County.
Oh, boy.
When I was a kid in the early 80s, we actually had to ride snowmobiles into our little town to buy milk and bread and that kind of thing.
Really?
Because we could not get on the roads.
Okay.
Yes, the city does an absolutely phenomenal job, for the most part, getting everything cleared out. But yeah, those, and that's the thing I think we sometimes forget, is that while so many of us live in the city,
right,
there are those outlying areas that, I mean, a lot of your listeners right now, I mean, I know my mom listens to WGN Radio. She's in a town of 1,600 people in southwestern Kankakee County. The Kankakee County Sheriff's Department put out a tweet this evening telling people, just don't go on the roads. We can't keep up.
Stay off the
roads.
The winds
are blowing. And
sure,
even though it's not snowing, it's just blowing all over the place.
Right.
So, yeah, that's where I think we sometimes forget. It's kind of like a tornado warning. If we were to break into a Cubs game because there was a tornado warning in downtown Chicago,
mm-hmm,
there would be people that were happy that we did that, but then there would be somebody that, say, lived down in, let's say, Piatone in Will County, or somebody up in McHenry County, that would call and say, why'd you break into the Cubs game? What's the big deal?
well,
it's because it didn't affect them.
Mike, maybe it's for my wife, Sarah, because on Friday morning she sends me a text. Hey, we got to go to the store. We're going to hunker down this weekend. We got to get supplies because the snowstorm's coming. I'm like, Sarah, we live in a mile away from the Jewel. It's not that big of a deal. We'll be okay if we don't get everything from the store. Everything's fine.
I think some of it, too, is social media and the hype of what comes with storms like this.
Sure.
For instance, the Weather Channel has named this Storm Harper or whatever crap they come up with. I've had to catch some of the people that we work with here at WGN or just in general and say, don't say a name for a winter storm. That's something that the Weather Channel does,
mm-hmm,
to hype it. There is nothing on the National Weather Service that names these storms.
Right.
The National Hurricane Center, yes, they name hurricanes and tropical storms. We don't do that with winter weather. That's something they're doing just for the hype, like you said. And that's what gets everybody so excited.
Mike Jansen from WGN-TV. You know, when you think about major snowstorms, a few come to mind when Lakeshore Drive was shut down how many years ago? Remember, all those cars
long, yeah,
were stuck. and the snowstorm of 1979. Everyone likes to refer back to 1979. I remember that because I had an afternoon paper route that year, and that snow was horrendous.
It was really bad. It also shaped Chicago.
That's right.
The
mayor's election. It was right around this time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Jane Byrd.
February, March, whatever it was, and they had the election. Yeah, that followed after they did not do a good job of getting the streets clear.
Right.
And so people ran to the polls, and guess what?
Yeah.
You now have the Byrd, the Jane Byrd interchange there. The circle, because she became mayor,
right?
Because of that winter storm.
They should clear that first before any street, just because of Jane Byrd.
Don't they normally go around to Alton Burke's place first and then work their way?
Allegedly. I have no idea what you're talking about with Alderman Burke's neighborhood, but it sure looked clean this morning. So Mike, recap for me again. So we have snow coming tonight at 11 o'clock, and it should be done around 5 a.m.
Roughly, yeah. That's when we have the best chance of seeing the heaviest snow is between those hours. We are currently seeing flurries, light snow showers that are out there right now, but it is a band, or really you'd like to call it a streamer, of lake effect snow that's going to develop up towards the Waukegan and work its way south along the western shore of Lake Michigan. And if it parks over one area for a long enough time, you're talking about snowfall rates that could be, maybe up to 2 inches per hour. It may only stay over you for an hour, but when it's all said and done, yeah, another 2 to 4 inches of snow, maybe up to 5 are possible by tomorrow morning. So hey, don't put that snow blower and snow shovel away yet.
And again, if you're not affected by the snow, you will be affected by the cold. The temperature is going to drop. The high tomorrow is 17, but the wind chills will be up. Same story on Monday. And then Tuesday, it goes up to what, 37? The snow will start melting?
Well, I'm actually colder. I actually got a high of 15 tomorrow, 17 Monday. And then here's the hard part, is trying to warm things up on Tuesday. I think mid-30s for highs. But if we don't get there and we flirt with, say, 31 or 32, freezing rain could be an issue on Tuesday.
Oh, geez.
And then after that, things start to fall apart again. I looked ahead to next Saturday, and right now I've got a high of 14, but there were some indications that maybe I may be too optimistic.
I heard maybe single digits next week, but you're the weather person. We'll check you out tonight at 9 o'clock, and we'll talk to you again right after 8 o'clock, okay?
I'd appreciate it. Thanks, Pete.
All right. Thanks. Mike Jansen from WGN TV. There you have it. We're going to see some snow, lake effect snow, and then the temperature is going to drop. It's Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's 720 WGN.
Now back to Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Baby, love me.
720 WGN, our phone number, 312-981-7200, if you want to chime in. By the way, if it's snowing in your area, call us, check in. That snow hasn't started in a lot of areas, but if it started in your area, call us or send us text messages. I have the text screen right in front of me, 312-981-7200. Jennings, you rent, so you don't really shovel. You don't have to shovel on a regular basis like me.
No. Thank goodness.
Did you grow up doing that? Like doing lawn work, shoveling?
No. But my parents owned a brownstone in Brooklyn.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was one of those crazy kids who enjoyed shoveling.
I love shoveling. I'm glad you brought that up.
Do me a favor. Hit the A1 host button. I think it's locked.
Okay. All right. How's that?
There we go.
Yes.
Much better.
I love shoveling, and because it's a good exercise, and it gives you a sense of accomplishment. My 13-year-old son wanted to earn some extra money. I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to shovel. We're going to make it happen. That's how you're going to earn your allowance. So we woke up this morning at 7 o'clock. I went out there. 20 minutes later, my son comes walking out. I was half done. I said, Charlie, this is what we're going to do since I'm half done. We're going to finish our walk. Then we're going to do the neighbor's walk on the east side, and then we're going to do the neighbor's walk on the west side. So we did the entire...
You're ambitious.
Well, he's got to earn his money. He's got to earn his money. We can't have the snowflake kid where these kids just get money for not doing anything. I feel like kids nowadays, they just ask for money or they ask for something and we give them everything. I grew up having to do odd jobs all the time. You name it. I had a paper route. I folded pizza boxes at Pizza World in Peoria to make extra money. I did tons of lawn work. I even did lawn work in college. To this day, I love doing lawn work and shoveling. I mean, that's what you did as a kid. You were a scrapper. You just had to make money however you could.
Well, that's a necessity, basically.
Right.
We're the generation that got an allowance.
I come from a very large family, never got an allowance. If you wanted money, you had to go out and earn it somehow. You had to do something. I got my first...
I had chores to do around the house. You had to take out the garbage or something. It wasn't huge. And then when we moved into our own home, you know,
right.
We got a dog. So the dog was my problem.
So you took care of the dog. That was your deal.
Oh, yeah.
How much was your allowance back in the day?
I don't even remember. It's been that long.
I mean,
it wasn't, no.
$5 a week?
I don't remember. I really don't. It's embarrassing. I don't remember.
I never got an allowance. Some of my friends did. Never got an allowance. 312-981-7200. Wondering about the snow. Is it snowing in your area? Let's check in with Jim. Jim, where are you?
We are now standing still for 2 hours on northbound I-57, 6 miles south of Marion, Illinois.
What's going on there? Is there a wreck? What's going on?
Oh, I just talked to the people at 911. They said there's a whole bunch of wrecks up the line, and we've been sitting here behind a semi for 2 hours since 6:30.
You're kidding.
And So I just tell people not to get on the interstate going north on 57.
So they're not even letting people off on the shoulder to get off on an exit somewhere?
Yeah, you can't move. We're stymied. It's like a wall of steel in front of us, the back of us. Lucky we have a full tank of fuel. Otherwise, we'd be in trouble, you know.
So what do they say? Is there any relief in sight?
Well, nobody's saying anything. I called 911. And the dispatcher said that there's a whole bunch of wrecks up there, and they're trying to get their equipment in there to move out the wrecks. But we haven't seen any progress at all. We're just stuck here.
So you just sit and wait. You've been sitting on 57 for 2 hours.
Over 2 hours, yeah. And I'm trying to get to Marion so I can, you know, stop at a motel. This is ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. That is, man, I feel for you. Jim,
how's the weather in Chicago?
It's not even snowing yet.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we got stuck here.
We got nothing.
There's a blizzard. Anyway, I just thought I'd help you out, tell you what's going on.
Well, thank you, Jim. Okay.
All right, buddy.
See you, man.
Take care.
2 hour standstill on 57. That's rough right there. 312-981-7200, our phone number. It's snowing in Carbondale. Well, thank you for checking in, Carbondale. That's text message. Snowing and it's snowing, not blowing, at Waveland and Laramie. Are you sure? I'm looking out the 18th floor windows here downtown. I don't see anything. There is zero snow whatsoever. Okay.
Patience. Patience.
I understand that. But 224 just sent a text, snowing, not blowing, at Waveland and Laramie. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to Craig. Craig, where are you?
I'm in Bloomingdale, DuPage County. We haven't had a snowflake since about 1 o'clock. But the wind is howling, and it's like mini blizzard out there if you're walking your dog.
Boy, that wind is rough. They said 35 mile an hour earlier today.
It's like a million trillion BBs in your face.
I know, and the temperature is going to drop, man.
Yeah, I hate walking my dog, but he's an outside dog. He has to go.
I know. I'm with you. Thank you, Craig. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Jake in Waukegan. Jake, is it snowing?
How you doing? It is. It's heavy lake effect up here right now.
There it is. It starts with you guys, and then it comes to us.
Yeah, I know it.
How bad is it?
It's coming down sideways. It's enough where it's impaired visibility. It's got about maybe 20 feet visibility in front of the car right now.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
So it's coming down to you guys.
Thanks for cheering me up, Jake. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, guys.
Have a good weekend. 312-981-7200 at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Wondering if it's snowing in your area. It looks like it is snowing in LaGrange. Thank you, 630 area code. It is snowing in Garfield Ridge. That is 708 area code. Okay. All right. So it's starting. We had that call from Waukegan. Let's go and check in with Gwen. Gwen, where are you?
Hey, guess what? I'm at the other end of the spectrum from Waveland in Laramie. I'm at Mike's house in Laramie, and there's no snow out here.
I didn't think so. It's not snowing yet.
And then the other thing I wanted to share that's really important, because there was a snowstorm years ago that people got stuck on Lakeshore Drive.
Yep.
And
yep.
One of my friends, I'm a nurse down at Northwestern down by you guys. So either way, she lucked out. She brought a blanket. It's always good to bring food in a container and drinks and a blanket with, so that, like, the couple that's stuck on I-57,
yeah.
You never know. So, but it's good to always have stuff with you.
Yeah, they say put a shovel in there, put a blanket in there, non-perishable food, maybe some chips or something like that, and bottled water, which most people usually have in their front seat. But yes, I agree with you, Gwen. Gwen, hold on. We're going to set you up with a shovel courtesy of Suncast. They're going to mail it out to you. You don't even have to go get it. They're going to send it straight to your house. All Suncast shovels are made right here in the USA. Okay?
Okay, cool.
Thank you, Gwen. Have a great night. You can go to suncast.com. It's Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Roe Coleman is behind the glass producing tonight. David Jennings with news, which is powered by victoryautorecords.com. David?
Now back to Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Our next guest, he is the star of the WGN Morning News alongside Robin, Larry, Paul, and Dean. He is also the star of Man of the People Saturday nights at 10 o'clock on WGN TV. It's our old buddy, Pat Tomasulo. Did I get that right? You are the star of the WGN Morning News.
I love how you emphasize the word star. That was Larry, what an introduction, Peter. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Did you leave your house today? I was wondering.
I did leave my house today. I was actually out shooting a piece for Man of the People today. And without giving too much away, it involved the flamethrower.
The flamethrower. A flamethrower?
No, a flamethrower.
A flamethrower.
A flamethrower.
Okay.
Not a blowtorch. I'm talking about an apparatus that shoots flames,
sure,
25 to 30 feet. Yeah, no, a flamethrower.
I like that.
I was operating a flamethrower today.
So you were shooting the flamethrower into a snow bank, I'm assuming.
But I'm not going to give too much of it away. I was performing a community service with the flamethrower. I'll just put it at that. And the fact that my wife is sitting right next to me,
mm-hmm,
I don't need to go into any more detail.
Right.
About exactly what we did with the flamethrower, mm-hmm, or the dangerous situations that arose from any potential carelessness by those people on the crew with me. So let's just move on, Pete.
Anything for comedy. Well, if people have never seen your show, you do street bits. You're in the studio, and it's kind of a...
Street bits? That sounds very dangerous. You do street bits.
Well, they are street bits, aren't they?
Yeah.
How would you describe them?
Yes, no, they are, but the way you made them sound so much more daring and dangerous. I kind of like it.
Usually you're talking to people. First of all, when you go out on the street and you talk to people downtown... Yeah. I don't know if you're surprised by it, but there's a lot of uneducated, dumb people out there.
No, I never mm-hmm, underestimate the stupidity of the general public.
Really?
No, that's something. I was a bit ahead of my time in that regard. I recognized that years ago as a youngster that people are generally dopey, but I don't think. Listen, I don't think all the people are dopey. I think sometimes when you spring a camera on them,
mm-hmm,
people get all bewildered and they don't know what the hell's going on. Now, the people who seek you out and want to be on camera, they 95% of the time are quite dopey.
Yes, those are the crazy
ones. I seem to attract them, which I love. I mean, that's the that makes fantastic television.
Of course. Man of the People, Saturday nights. This is a rerun tonight, but Saturday is a new one. We're going to give away tickets in a second for...
No, the week after. Two weeks from today.
Two weeks.
What's today's date?
Today is... What is the date?
February 2nd is the debut.
Okay, so the 19th.
From today we air. And then 2 weeks from yesterday, we record our first episode, the premiere of season two, which is just mind-boggling to me that, they agreed to give me a season two.
Right.
And B, I agreed to do a season two. I'm exhausted, Pete. I just want to sleep. That's all.
Well, as an adult, that's all you care about. You don't care about anything else. You just want sleep as an adult. But... What happened?
I was telling my wife, I only want sleep when like the alternative is fun. Like I can work. Oh, I can wake up in the morning early and work out, and then work like a 12-hour day, and then do like
720 WGN 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Wondering if it's snowing in your area. It looks like it is snowing in LaGrange. Thank you, 630 area code. It is snowing in Garfield Ridge. That is 708 area code. Okay. All right. So it's starting. We had that call from Waukegan. Let's go and check in with Gwen. Gwen, where are you?
Hey, guess what? I'm at the other end of the spectrum from Waveland in Laramie. I'm at Maxos in Laramie, and there's no snow out here.
I didn't think so. It's not
snowing
yet.
And then the other thing I wanted to share that's really important, because there was a snowstorm years ago that people got stuck on Lakeshore Drive.
Yep.
And
yep.
One of my friends, I'm a nurse down at Northwestern down by you guys. So either way, she lucked out. She brought a blanket. It's always good to bring food in a container and drinks and a blanket with, so that like the couple that's stuck on I-57.
Yeah.
You never know. So, but it's good to always have stuff with you.
Yeah, they say put a shovel in there, put a blanket in there, non-perishable food, maybe some chips or something like that, and bottled water, which most people usually have in their front seat. But yes, I agree with you, Gwen. Gwen, hold on. We're going to set you up with a shovel courtesy of Suncast. They're going to mail it out to you. You don't even have to go get it. They're going to send it straight to your house. All Suncast shovels are made right here in the USA. Okay?
Okay, cool.
Thank you, Gwen. Have a great night. You can go to suncast.com. It's Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Roe Coleman is behind the glass producing tonight. David Jennings with news, which is powered by victoryautorecords.com. David?
Now back to Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Our next guest, he is the star of the WGN Morning News alongside Robin, Larry, Paul, and Dean. He is also the star of Man of the People Saturday nights at 10 o'clock on WGN TV. It's our old buddy, Pat Tomasulo. Did I get that right? You are the star of the WGN Morning News.
I love how you emphasize the word star. That was... Larry, what an introduction, Peter. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Did you leave your house today? I was wondering.
I did leave my house today. I was actually out shooting a piece for Man of the People today. And without giving too much away, it involved the flamethrower.
The flamethrower. A flamethrower?
No, a flamethrower.
A flamethrower.
A flamethrower.
Okay.
Not a blowtorch. I'm talking about an apparatus that shoots flames 25 to 30 feet. Yeah, no, a flamethrower.
I like that.
I was operating a flamethrower today.
So you were shooting the flamethrower into a snow bank, I'm assuming.
But I'm not going to give too much of it away. I was performing a community service with the flamethrower. I'll just put it at that. And the fact that my wife is sitting right next to me, mm-hmm. I don't need to go into any more detail about exactly what we did with the flamethrower or the dangerous situations that arose from any potential carelessness by those people on the crew with me. So let's just move on, Pete.
Anything for comedy. Well, if people have never seen your show, you do street bits. You're in the studio, and it's kind of a...
Street bits? That sounds very dangerous. You do street bits.
Well, they are street bits, aren't they?
Yeah.
How would you describe them?
Yes, no, they are, but the way you made them sound so much more daring and dangerous. I kind of like it.
I'm trying to think usually you're talking to people. First of all, when you go out on the street and you talk to people downtown, I don't know if it, if you're surprised by it, but there's really a lot of uneducated, dumb people out there.
No, I never underestimate the stupidity of the general public.
Really?
No, that's something, I was a bit ahead of my time in that regard. I recognized that years ago as a youngster that people are generally dopey. But I don't think all the people are dopey. I think sometimes when you spring a camera on them, people get all bewildered and they don't know what the hell's going on. Now, the people who seek you out and want to be on camera, they 95% of the time are quite dopey.
Yes, those are the crazy
ones. I seem to attract them, which I love. I mean, that makes fantastic television.
Of course. Man of the People, Saturday nights. This is a rerun tonight, but Saturday is a new one. We're going to give away tickets in a second for...
No, the week after. Two weeks from today.
Two weeks.
What's today's date?
Today is... What is the date?
February 2nd is the debut.
Okay, so the 19th.
From today we air. And then 2 weeks from yesterday, we record our first episode, the premiere of season two, which is just mind-boggling to me that, they agreed to give me a season two.
Right.
And B, I agreed to do a season two. I'm exhausted, Pete. I just want to sleep. That's all.
Well, as an adult, that's all you care about. You don't care about anything else. You just want sleep as an adult. But... What happened?
I was telling my wife, I only want sleep when like the alternative is fun. Like I can wake up in the morning early and work out and then work like a 12-hour day and then do like 3 stand-up spots and I feel like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
But like after 90 minutes of fun, my entire body shuts down. I'm just exhausted. I think I'm allergic to fun.
It's called old age. You start to wind down a little bit.
I get on the couch and it's over.
We're talking with Pat Tomasulo from WGN TV. Talk to me about season two. Do you have to go in and sign a deal? Paul Rennie is the big boss. He runs WGN Radio and WGN TV. Do you walk into Paul's office, by the way, who has a brand new haircut? It's very high and tight. I mean, close to the melon.
It is very high and tight, isn't it? I didn't know if I was the only one who noticed that because God love him, but, you know, he doesn't have a ton of hair to begin with. So I wasn't sure if maybe he lost a little or if he got a cut, but he did get a cut, didn't he?
Yes, I asked him about it on Wednesday. He was here at the station because his office is over at Bradley Place at the television studios. And when you walk into Paul Rennie's office, there's shag carpeting from 1978.
Right. And, well, that's the general decor of that entire building.
Yes. I was wondering about that. How come he can't get new carpeting? He's the GM.
I don't know. Maybe he wants to live amongst the, Gen Pop and live in the squalid conditions that we did. We do. We're probably the only TV station in the country right now that has cinder block walls. Like, we don't have drywall in the building, right?
It
has like that industrial 1960s junior high mental institution.
That is so true.
Right? Wires hanging from the... Anytime people are like, wow, so they won't spend any extra money on the show, I'm like, have you been in that building?
Yeah.
Have you seen... God love them, but, you know.
And I've said this on the air before, and when I go to WGN-TV, I get very upset because I walk in every time to the Bozo Studios. And when I was a kid in Peoria, I sent in postcard after postcard after postcard, and I just wanted tickets to the Bozo show. And when I walk in now, it seats about 32 people. And there's no way that a kid from Peoria would ever get chosen to come to Chicago after because people are getting VIP tickets. There's no way. Right. That studio is so small.
Right. And you were generally unliked as a child, too, so they weren't yes. going to pick you either.
Just wanted to play the grand prize game, man. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know.
I could get past bucket number three.
Sure.
I really could.
Well, that's you and 78% of the people who were watching that show at home. It was buckets four and five that separated the champions from the contenders.
Right.
You know?
And if you hit number six, you take home that bike, which was a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could just buy a bike. You know, one of the two.
You could.
And save yourself the years of heartache.
I'm sure you get this all the time, but when a Pat Tomasulo is out in public, people ask you what happens behind the scenes on the WGN Morning News. What's Robin like, Larry, Paul, Conrad, Dean, Richards?
Sure.
What do you tell them?
Yeah. They're exactly as insane and in some cases annoying as they are on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But all lovable. We're exactly the same. You've met us all. You know,
of course,
we're not much different than we are off camera.
I mean,
you know?
No disrespect to you. I think Larry is the funniest guy on the show. And the reason being, you don't expect the humor from him because he's the straight man.
Yeah. So, no disrespect. You have me on to talk about my comedy show. And you say, no disrespect, but that's like, would you go on like Jimmy Fallon and be like, listen, no disrespect, but that Lester Holt is,
jeez.
Man, that guy's a cut-up.
He
you're,
is
you're
just
good,
the best, yes.
But Lester Holt mm-hmm. is funny.
He's good.
What do you have, rocks in your head?
Especially with the mustache back in the day when he was at Channel 2. All right. What do we have to look forward to on February 2nd before we give away VIP tickets?
What do we, well, we're still putting that show together. I can tell you what you have to look forward to on the season of Man of the People.
All right.
A lot of people enjoyed the Mall Walkers from last year. Those 70 to 80-year-old minxes that walked me around the Harlem Irving Plaza.
Yep.
They are back.
Okay.
We're going to do a special Super Bowl segment with Spice Adams from the Bears.
Sure.
We are going to, let's just say we're going to share a visit we took to the city council meeting.
Oh boy.
I'm a man of the people.
Yes, you are.
And I represent all the people, Peter.
Do you?
Not just the people represented by the 15 current mayoral candidates.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole sector of people that are unrepresented by that. We're giving average people the red carpet treatment. You know, it's award season.
Right.
And it's we're honoring celebrities and actors and actresses, and we're giving them awards and we're giving them red carpets. I'm going to do that for the average person, Pete.
I got to ask.
People who aren't in movies, they deserve to be awarded, too, in a funny, borderline ambushing way. They deserve that, Pete.
I got to ask you about something. You had a segment last year. I think it was last year.
Sure.
It sticks out in my head because you carried an elf on the shelf, a real live elf on the shelf, on your shoulders downtown.
Yeah. Well, I'm huge.
I mean, you're an average guy and you're walking around with this person.
Whoa, what?
I mean, you're an average. You're an average size guy.
You've insulted me in this conversation.
I am not insulting you. You're an average size guy. How tall are you? 5'8"? I'm 5'10". I'm average size. That's about average for a guy.
But I pack a lot of power into that 5'8" frame. Well, you know this. You've seen me do push-ups.
Well, my point is, as a person that's 5'8", you're carrying around another human on your shoulders walking around downtown. I know there was cuts in the camera, but it seemed like that elf on the shelf, that live elf on the shelf, was on your shoulders for a very long time.
I'm a superhero. No, it was a 2.5-hour shoot that I carried a grown man around.
And, I was worried about the discs in your back. I got to be honest.
Yeah, no, thank you for that, because after about an hour, those definitely started to become compressed.
Sure, that's not good.
No, it's not good. You shouldn't arch your back. you know this. Yeah. You're a workout kind of guy yourself. Yeah. I see you posting videos of you drinking protein shakes on Instagram. I don't know who the hell you think's watching that, but
thank
I've
you.
Seen it.
There's you and Mark Carmen, who was on earlier. There's two.
It was, you know, it was the first time you pick him up, you're like, oh, he's a light little fella. You know, he's 130 pounds. I could carry him around a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And the second trip, you're like, huh, Santa. So my arms are starting to get a little tired here. My biceps are a little. And the third time, you're like, ooh, my arms are, I can't feel those arms anymore.
Then
you're arching at the back. And then that's Advil territory there.
That's rough stuff. I really feel
but
for
I
you.
But I suffer from my art. That's what I do.
Well, congratulations on a second season. That's a big deal.
Sure.
Now, can you get to a third? What do we have to do to get to a third?
What do I listen? Let me let you in on a little secret.
Yeah.
They've already put money into the show, so I'll be doing this show as long as I work there, just to pay off the investment they've made in that. So I think I just have to be breathing and have a pulse for them to squeeze a season three out of this.
Oh, that's...
You know, and as long as like 100 or 200 people watch. But it's a good show. You're a regular viewer, right? I'm sure you like it, but I'm sure you can go 3 for 3 with the insults and tell me something else that you like better.
No. I genuinely like the show. I DVR it every single week. You have the street bits, and then you go into the studio, and you have a live studio audience, which I love because a lot of these shows do not. They have the laugh track or about 4 people behind the scenes laughing. It's fun to hear an audience and hear applause, too.
Yes. That's all you got. That's all.
that's a great compliment. And you're all right. You're funny.
You know, I'm a guest on the show.
I mean, you make me laugh. You're funny. You're funny like a clown.
I just, you know, I figured you would have had a, like you could have gone a little longer. I just think you could have.
Let's do this. 312-981-7200. Let's take caller number 7, VIP tickets. 312-981-7200, VIP tickets for Friday, February 1st, right? That's the taping. Right.
Yes, in the afternoon. You got to be there at 1:30, and then the taping starts at 2. So don't be caller number 7 if you don't know that you're going to use the tickets.
Yes.
Then I have empty seats.
Right.
And then some guy from sales has to fill them because you didn't show up.
Well, here's my question. VIP.
Sure.
VIP to man of the people. What does that mean?
That means you get early admission.
Okay.
You get
is that a big deal?
Front row. Well, it is. You don't have to wait online.
Okay.
You get your own little area to sit in, and then you get front row tickets.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, you don't have to. You're not at the mercy of where the people seat you, or if you get there a little late, you get front row either way. Front row.
Front row.
Look at this face.
Well, do you greet our winner, and will you go up and maybe hug this person?
Pete, I do a meet and greet after every show because I'm a man of the people. Oh. You're not going to see Jimmy Fallon doing that.
No, Fallon's not doing it. Uh-uh, he's got to go out to dinner. Let's get our winner. This is
he didn't need to.
This is Dave. Dave, where are you calling from?
Oak Run. Oak Lawn.
Okay.
Oak Lawn, you dummy.
I thought he said Oak Run. I could barely hear him. Dave, Oak Lawn, you're going to drive in on Friday, February 1st. Are you really going to make that happen?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Love the show.
All right. Well, say,
thanks, Dave.
Say hello to Pat Tomasulo from WGN, man of the people.
Hi, Pat. It's a pleasure. Pleasure to meet you, sir. I'm doing great. I can't wait to see your show.
Me this whole call. Pete and I were buddies, neighbors, and ever since he moved away, he's a changed man.
I am 1 mile away from you. I used to be right around the corner, now I'm a mile away.
Well, it might as well be Canada, because that's how it feels in my heart.
Dave, hold on the line. You're the big VIP winner. You don't have to wait in line. You'll sit in the front row, and Pat will say hello after the show, okay?
Thanks, Dave.
Awesome. Thank you.
Dave.
You got it, brother.
Grab all of Dave's info, and we'll pass that on. And
Pete, when are you coming to a show?
I may come on the 1st. Can I let you know?
Yeah, I guess. Wait, does he have anything better to do? Is that...
Well, what time is the taping?
I'm
They just went further.
I know. I wasn't paying attention. What time? 1 o'clock?
1:30, you got to be there. And then 2 o'clock, we tape.
So I'm done at 2:30?
Usually by 3.
Okay. I got to pick up my kid from school. That's why I ask. Not a big deal.
We usually need the whole hour to get it right. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I love
it. Your kid can walk. Right?
Kids don't walk anymore. They're afraid to get kidnapped.
Can he get a lift? Yeah. Uber?
You know what? He's at that age. I just downloaded the app. Absolutely. Both apps.
Oh, that's scary.
What are you going to do tonight since there's a rerun and you're hanging out? You and the wife going to watch a movie?
We're watching Green Book right now.
Now, remind me, is that a TV show or a movie? Green Book?
No, that's the movie.
Dean was talking about that the other day. That's right.
Ursula.
Yes.
Ali, and yep. We just saw Sebastian Maniscalco's in it, so it's...
That's right.
I have to support my fellow comedians. Not that he needs my support right now. He's got plenty of support, but...
Marshala Ali, is that how you pronounce his first name?
Mahershala.
Mahershala Ali. He is in the new season... on HBO.
True Detective. I haven't seen that yet.
It is so good. They started last Sunday with 2 episodes. It's so good. Season 2 stunk. That was with Vince Vaughn and what's his name from Ireland.
Yeah.
Season 1, Woody Harrelson, Matthew McConaughey, great. Season 3 is great. Sure. It's very good.
I look forward to seeing it.
There you go.
It's going to be lovely.
Wow. Well, it's great to catch up, man.
Hey, It's lovely to catch up with you. We should do this more often.
We will. And I'll stop by your house sometime very, very soon. Hello to your wife, and we'll be watching 2 weeks from today, maybe a rerun tonight at 10 o'clock.
Yes, and you can also catch up on YouTube at youtube.com/ManOfThePeopleTV, and then follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
Love it. All right. Pat Tomasulo, WGN-TV. Thank you, buddy.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Coming up next, David Jennings with news from the Northwestern Newsroom at 720 WGN.
Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
WGN Radio Theater.
The special 3-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
We have some great classic radio coming your way this weekend on the WGN Radio Theater.
On Saturday night, a special presentation of the Lux Radio Theater, and then The Lives of Harry Lime.
On Sunday night, we can look forward to The Great Gildersleeve and Escape.
That's Saturday and Sunday nights at 11.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Thanks again to Pat Tomasulo. Man of the People air Saturday nights at 10 o'clock. New episodes start on February 2nd. And please do me a favor. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Pete McMurray. Hear the sounds that matter. The top 5 at 5 from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis. Weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. News is powered by Team Hochberg. Here's David Jennings. Murray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. The big story, of course, is weather this weekend. Let's check in with Mike Jansen from WGN-TV. Mike, we got a message from Waukegan that the snow has started. Is that right?
Yeah, we actually have light snow being reported out of Midway this hour. Flurries at O'Hare, flurries Lansing to Joliet, to light snow in Waukegan, light snow in Wheeling. Here's the deal. So we have widespread snow showers, lake effect snow showers that have kind of spread themselves out to very light. This will eventually become more of a singular band of lake effect snow. So you're going to go from this lighter stuff that's all spread out, you're going to shove it all together into more of a concise band, and that's what we expect to start to develop over the next couple of hours. It starts in the north, works its way to the south, and when we get up tomorrow morning, some parts of a lake in Cook counties may have another 2 to 5 inches of snow on the ground. Now, some of this lake effect snow actually could extend as far south to maybe eastern Kankakee County or eastern Iroquois counties, but that's going to be much lighter stuff. It's when you get up closer to the lake where things are going to be the heaviest. And then we'll see that snow eventually move its way over to northwest Indiana tomorrow. That's where they may be looking at another 3 to 6 inches over there.
Oh, boy.
Nah, you know, it's that happens a lot. So those folks that get on the Borman or...
It's terrible.
Yeah.
When there's a chance of snow in Indiana, it snows.
Yeah.
All the time.
If it's
seriously.
A 20% chance, they'll get it.
Right.
Especially you get over there in the Porter County towards Valparaiso, they get into that snow belt.
Oh, it's terrible.
It goes from, hey, we got an inch of snow, to, hey, we have a foot of snow. And it really is in just a mile. It's amazing if anybody's ever driven over there after a winter storm like that. It's quite impressive.
When there's a buildup like this, do you ever find, and I'm sure it's happened in the past, where there's a huge snow buildup and it doesn't snow and people get mad at you?
Oh, yeah, people get upset.
Right.
And you know, it's like anything else, though. I think people are understanding this isn't an exact science. And if we were to, say, put out a forecast and said, I think sometimes what people get upset about more than it doesn't snow is if we put out a forecast where we have huge ranges in terms of snowfall and say, okay, we could get somewhere between 3 inches and a foot. And people go, well, you can't get it. You know what happens? A lot of times we do end up with 3 inches to a foot sometimes. You get that lake effect snow going and somebody ends up with a whole bunch of snow and other places don't end up with too much.
Right.
We had that just a couple of weeks ago. It snowed 9 inches down in Kankakee County and you had like 2.5 inches at O'Hare. So you can have a lot of variability around here and you just kind of deal with it. I think everybody knows. I was always taught prepare for... what the potential is, if it did everything it could do,
yep.
This is what will happen.
You sound like my mother. Prepare for the worst, honey.
Yeah, because if I say it's
prepare
only
going... Prepare for the worst.
Well, you know, this is one of those things where if I say it's going to snow, say, 6 to 8 inches, and we only get 4, are you going to be as upset in that scenario, or if I say it's going to snow 4 inches and we get 8? You know, suddenly,
right. You
know, that makes a big difference for people.
Well, here's a question, because your co-worker, Demetrius Ivory, was on last night, and I got home last night, and I was watching him on TV, and he said that it snowed 4 inches, or no, they expected 4 inches in Lincoln Park, but near O'Hare, there was 9 inches they expected, which is a huge... difference, and they're so close together. I mean, it was Lincoln Park and it was downtown. I'm sorry, Lincoln Park and downtown. So 4 inches of Lincoln Park, and they said 9 inches downtown. And I thought to myself, that's got to be a typo.
No, I mean, if you actually, and that was the thing, if you looked at the radar last night, about the time he was on, you had snow basically north of the Eisenhower.
Okay.
And that was it. And so you get up to Lincoln Park, it was snowing there for quite a few hours, and yet you went due west out of downtown, and you could drive for basically all the way out to DeKalb County if you wanted to before you ran into any snow.
It was weird when I drove home last night because I was on the Kennedy, zero snow, and I get off on Western, and it was snowing like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
it's very strange.
It's got to stop someplace, though, right?
It really does.
It's not going to snow everywhere. You eventually, it's like if you went on a family trip and you're driving through Nebraska and it's going to be raining on you, and somewhere along the line, it is going to stop. And that's just, it just becomes amazing when it does that around here. And because of where we are with that lake involved, that changes everything. I mean, you've got a nice big pool of moisture there that can feed these storms. And you could have, well, we think it's going to be a blanket, say it was north of 88, where you were calling for 4 to 6 inches or whatever it may be. And we thought maybe the heaviest amounts were going to be closer to the city and lighter amounts to the north or whatever it is. But then you got, say, banding started to, or enhancement from the lake started to develop up by Waukegan. Next thing you know, they've got more snow than what you ended up with downtown just because of the enhancement from the lake.
In all my years of media, there's one thing that people are so passionate about is weather. They got to know. They got to know, which is true. And we've had people check in all night long, 312-981-7200. If it's snowing in your area, give us a call. And Bill, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Zion.
You're calling from Zion.
When I was coming down Green Bay Road from North Chicago where I work, it was snowing real bad. it started to light up a little bit, and then got heavy again and got light again, and it's on and off thing.
So you got an on and off thing going in Zion. So it started.
Yeah.
It's headed. Okay.
Yeah, so he, you know, and he's not that far to the east of Wadsworth, who has, you know, that area already picked up 8.3 inches of snow.
Right.
And so you know, if the lake effect really gets going and starts to stretch maybe all the way into Wadsworth, which it certainly could.
Right.
Are they going to be flirting with a foot when it's all said and done? I'm not going to say it won't happen. I mean, it certainly is a right. You know, the possibility's there.
Mike, do you have time? We got a few more calls.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, this is taxi driver Bob. Bob, we were talking about the models earlier. You had a question about the models?
Oh, I didn't hear, but I just wanted to offer, ask a question about that, but also to kind of, you know, to I've been driving the whole day since about 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's been pretty brutal real early in the morning. They didn't get to the roads until probably 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. And just the people driving like 70 miles an hour down the toll road, and there's people in ditches.
Bob, what's your question?
Yeah.
Give me your...
My question was that lately they've been coming out with this European model and other models. How do the Europeans know about what's going on with the weather in Chicago? Come on. I mean, one model says we're going to get like...
Well, let Mike answer, yeah. Because Mike Jansen from WGN-TV, we talked about the models earlier. Can you explain it again?
Well, the Europeans are just like us. They want to know what's going on. But if you are going to get a real sense of what the weather is going to do, you can't just be sampling the air that is, or the atmosphere that's over the United States. I mean, you have to look at things on a whole. And so, you know, you think about, okay, we'll use, say, the North American model, for instance, or something that comes out of the National Weather Service. We are going to look at what's happening up in the Arctic Circle. We're going to look at the air that's in Canada that's headed our direction. We're going to put all those things together, and the Europeans are the same as us. I mean, you want to see what's going on around the world. Is you know, we're not confined to seeing our weather come from one place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things have to act together, and we're in this big floating ball that's going around the sun. And guess what?
Spinning.
You
know? Yes.
Yep. That's how it works.
I like it. All right. Mike Jansen, and the temperatures are going to drop tomorrow for the next 2 days.
Yeah, the temperatures.
We can't forget about that.
No, and that's the thing is even if you're not impacted by the snow tonight or even into tomorrow, just that nasty cold. I said it when we were together at 7 o'clock. I've said it on air tonight with WGN at 5 on TV, was that I'm glad that the kids have the day off for the holiday on Monday.
It's going to be brutal.
Because some of those wind chills in the morning could be as cold as 15 degrees below zero in those outlying areas. And you know what? I walk and I get my daughter from school every day. And I would say 2/3 of those kids walk out of that school either not wearing gloves or not wearing a hat.
Oh. When did we turn into our parents? I said that to my son today. I'm like, Charlie, just put on a hat. We're going to his basketball game today. He's like, I'm okay, Dad. I'm not cold.
Yeah, they're not cold.
And then I had a flashback when my mother and my father used to yell at me, where's your hat? Where's your gloves? Because we never had gloves at our house, ever.
Well, you know, we're just a couple of blocks from Lane Tech High School, and if you want to see something amazing, just go over there on a day when it's, say, 15 degrees and watch the number of kids that are walking out of that high school that are wearing a sweatshirt.
Six,
that's it.
What is it, 5,500 students at 3 o'clock? It's just a sea of kids, and none of them have winter coats on.
No, and the thing is, their parents, I guarantee, have bought them a very nice winter coat that if they dug underneath a pile of laundry, they may find it.
Here's one the two of you can explain to me.
Yeah.
I'm originally an East Coast guy, so I know what winter is like.
Yeah.
We get it. In the last couple of days, I have seen a number of people in a light sweatshirt, jacket, shorts, and sneakers.
My neighbor shovels in shorts. I don't know why. Maybe that's a Chicago thing or a Midwest thing. I don't know.
I just think it's because are you insane?
Well, when you're a bigger guy, you sweat a lot, and if you keep your upper body warm, I think the bottom is fine. I wear shorts outside, but I wear a coat sometimes in this weather because your legs really don't get that cold if you're going to be outside for a short period of time.
Mike, you buying that?
I guess it's whatever makes you comfortable. I you know, the thing is,
the bigger man likes to wear shorts in weather like this.
Well, I'm not a bigger man, so I guess we need to find. Can we get tell your you know anybody that's listening right now? If you are a bigger man,
yeah,
call us up right now and explain.
Wear shorts. Yeah,
and I'm when you say a bigger man, what's the cutoff?
Well, I mean, it just depends.
What, feet to 10, yeah, exactly. 6 feet to 20.
I'm wearing jeans and a pullover right now, and I have the temperature in the studio down to 67, and I'm sweating. So I sweat a lot. I feel like there's a lot of guys listening right now that'll walk outside wearing a coat, and sometimes they'll wear gym shorts or shorts if they're just running to the store in this weather, which is fine.
I guess. I mean, I don't know.
You guys have never done that?
No, I think.
No.
Like I told you in the 7 o'clock hour, I grew up in the country. And
right.
So if you jumped in the car to go somewhere, you were going to travel, even the town was 7 miles. If you were to run into the ditch while wearing only shorts and a t-shirt, now you're in trouble. There's issues there. I guess maybe if you're in the city because you know help is readily available to you,
right?
Maybe that's why it's not a big deal. I get shoveling in shorts. I guess I get it because you are going to work up a sweat,
right?
But I know that if I take a wrong step and end up with a lot of snow in my boot, I don't find that overly comfortable.
When I was shoveling today, I wore a winter coat and I had pants and boots on. I had a hat on. After a while, I took off my hat and finished.
Yeah.
Because I was sweating.
Yeah.
I get it.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. I like it cold. I like to keep it 68 degrees in the house.
Okay.
My wife spent most of her life in New Orleans. She would love it if we made it 80.
I just got a text from, listen to this, David, 630 area code. I don't wear a coat all winter. 202 area code, psych meds make you warm. Okay. Got it. Thank you, 202. Okay. Good to know. All right. Mike Jansen tonight, WGN-TV. Mike, great to talk to you. Appreciate the time.
Pete, I appreciate it. Great talking to you guys.
See you, man.
All right.
All right. Real quick, before we go to commercials, let's go to Chris. Chris, are you on I-57?
I'm on I-57, and I know you talked to a guy earlier, Pete, but this is insanity.
You're kidding. It hasn't moved at all?
4 hours plus.
You're kidding.
And no, I am not kidding.
They got to get people off the road. And, David, we haven't found anything. We're looking for something.
I'm looking at what I've got from our traffic service on I-57, and it says nothing about anything.
Well,
it says things are fine. I don't think they may not go down that far.
Yeah, they probably don't. But this is how it happened, though. I finally got a trooper that stopped by my window. And he said, "We said, what's the story here? Two trucks simultaneously slowed down to a slow crawl, and then they just all their wheels were spinning. They just caused they just basically got stuck.
Oh boy!
And one's in one lane and one's in the other lane.
You're kidding! And how long have you been at a standstill on 57?
4 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, that is brutal.
And this is in Marion."
Right outside of Marion.
Like 6 miles south of Marion.
Wow. I feel for you, brother. I do.
And that's northbound or southbound?
Northbound.
Okay.
I'm looking on IDOT's website, and I don't see anything on right away. We're still going to dig for this. So
we're getting to meet our neighbors. We got guys in SUV. There's a guy in SUV from Naperville.
Yeah.
There's another guy and a lady from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Well, how is your gas? I'd worry about gas at this point.
Oh, everybody is. That's the thing. And then about 8 cars behind me, I saw an ambulance come on the southbound lane, and I looked, and there's an ambulance on the southbound lane, and there's a trooper pulling a lady out of a car that's in this line that's stuck, taking her into an ambulance and heading south.
Oh, jeez. Wow. I can't believe that they haven't let you guys off on the shoulder to get off on an exit somewhere.
Right. Well, it's the shoulder is full of snow and you can't get through it. It's too deep here. It was, you know, from the blizzard.
That's rough stuff, Chris. All right, man.
Yeah.
Well, keep the faith. We'll keep looking and figure out what's going on, okay?
We'll keep you posted. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Chris. It's 720 WGN. Pat Tomasulo of WGN Morning News has his own comedy show. It's called Man of the People, Saturday night at 10 on WGN-TV. We'll talk to Merrill Hodge, former NFL player, now NFL analyst, about championship Sunday tomorrow. We have two games, 205 and 540. One of my favorite NFL Sundays of all time. But first, let's take a look at news. It's powered by Grain Berry. Here's David.
Now back to Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Our next guest is a former NFL player, an NFL analyst. He has the largest tie knot in the history of television. His new book is entitled Brainwashed, The Bad Science Behind CTE and the Plot to Destroy Football. It is Merrill Hodge. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday night.
My pleasure, Pete. Good to be with you.
I want you to tell your backstory because some of us who are football fans remember 1994 when you were in Chicago at the end of your career. Can you talk about that real quick?
Well, I'll tell you this, Pete, it was actually probably one of the most exciting times actually in my career because as a kid, my two favorite teams actually were the Pittsburgh Steelers and Chicago Bears. My favorite player was Walter Payton. So to sign a three-year deal and come to the Chicago Bears, even though I really didn't want to leave Pittsburgh, you know, in all fairness, I tried everything not to.
Right.
I couldn't have gone to a greater environment. I had that. The Bears or the San Francisco 49ers, which are my two options. And to go to Chicago, get to know Walter Payton actually even more, really are some of the highlights of my short career there. You know, I didn't finish the three-year deal, obviously. My career ended prematurely. I was improperly cared for.
Right.
After a concussion I got on a Monday night. That ended my career because I returned to play too soon, sustained another one, went into cardiac arrest, and really went back to Pittsburgh to do some follow-ups because I'd been doing baseline testing in Pittsburgh. It wasn't being done in Chicago. And in 1994, they, you know, I think about what's available today versus what was happening in 94. You know, Dr. Maroon and no neurologists would clear me to return to play. So they believed I needed to, you know, end my career. So, unfortunately, that ended my career. And what's important about that, though, is people get what happened to me in my career confused mm-hmm. with what's going on right now. And concussions, protocol, they don't have anything to do with CTE. And people are getting them all blurred and confused. They're like, well, how could you, you ended your career because of that. You go, no, I didn't. And my career got ended because of improper care, which I addressed that, quite honestly. I took it all the way to Congress to try to get protocols in youth football in 2009 when nothing was being done for youth sports, and I was doing it for all sports. So really this pattern of CTE, I'm probably no different than anybody who is listening right now as far as seeing the headlines. I'm not confused by them, not understand them. But I have access not only with people that can help me understand what it is, but I've lived it from a coach, player, and parent, more importantly.
Right.
And it just really set me on a journey. I wanted to find out what it was. I wanted to know the facts.
Well, you say in your book,
Merrill,
you say in your book that you want to set the record straight on CTA. What does that mean? How are you going to set the record straight?
Well, the best way to set the record straight is to go find out what it really is. And you've got to go ask neuropathologists and read the scientific literature. And here's what I think is really important from a journalistic perspective, from your perspective. To be able to talk about this, you had better have done at least this. Read all the scientific literature. I have yet to run across anybody in my journeys throughout this country in the media side that have read any of the any of the scientific journals, any of the scientific literature. They always refer to some article they read. That's not scientific. That is not the scientific literature. I've read the scientific literature. I've talked to neuropathologists in this country, Canada, Australia, the UK, and I've asked them the same thing to explain it to me. And they all say the same thing, Pete. They're all like, you know what? It's a pattern, Merrill, that we've discovered. It's in an observation state. We do not know what causes it, and we don't know what it causes. We have cases in the medical journal that have this pattern of CT, never played football, never had a history of head trauma, never had contact, played contact sports. Mm-hmm. And I was like, now, wait a minute. If we have cases like that, why don't we hear about them? I'd always go back to, that's why we're in an observation state. And I'm like, well, how can the narrative get to where it's gotten? And that's why the massive majority of the scientific community is screaming, hey, listen, there is no scientific evidence of cause or link, none whatsoever. In fact, there's more evidence that speaks against that. But I'm going to give you one where one of the things has gone wrong. Ann McKee out of Boston University wrote a scientific paper in the scientific literature, the 90% paper. In that paper, if you look at the methodology and understand what was done at diseased brains from a disease brain bank, it's a biased study on the most biased levels. At the end of the paper, she writes, caution. These words are in there. Caution. You can't use this study they just did because of the poor methodology, or the biased methodology, and a litany of other low-level degrees of science being done in this paper to give anybody a sense of degree of disease of CTE. So you can't use this to give any degree or sense of where it is at any level. But she's quoted in the media as saying, after the study she just did and just wrote, caution, can't use this, I got to believe every football player has this. Well, what do you think everybody has read? What do you think everybody focuses on?
They read the latter. But what you're trying to say in your book is there's no direct correlation between playing football and CTE. Is that right?
There's none. There's no scientific evidence to that. But I'm going to tell you what there is. When you talk about direct contributors to our mental health, cardiovascular disease, all cardiovascular disease, mental health, and cancers. These things. Obesity. Sugar consumption, which leads to inflammation. Inflammation is the leading ingredient to all issues in our health. Inactivity. Alcohol. Drugs. Opioids. Age and genetics. Now, of all the things I just said, there's really only two that you don't control. You don't control your age. Right. Just be grateful that you're moving on in life. And if there's a genetic connection as far as dementia goes, that is the only thing. All those other things are lifestyle choices, and they are major contributors. And if you look at this, read the scientific literature, you read the scientific literature, not your local paper, not Sports Illustrated, not definitely not the New York Times, you will find that that literature contradicts what you see in the media headlines immensely. Well, there is no cause. There is no link.
Well, Merrill, let me give you two examples. Again, his book is called Brainwashed, The Bad Science Behind CTE and the Plot to Destroy Football. We all know about Chicago Bear great here in Chicago, Dave Duerson, how he passed away, committed suicide, went to Notre Dame. He was beloved in this city, and we all heard that it was linked to CTE. Your former teammate, Mike Webster, died at the age of 50, and they said it's because of CTE, because of years of playing football. And this is, I don't know if this is scientific evidence, but this is what I read, that his brain was like of a person who had been in the equivalent of 25,000 automobile crashes in over 25 years of playing football. So how is there not a correlation between your brain being shook with football playing for 25 years and CTE?
You just, first of all, Mike Webster was a roommate of mine. I knew Dave Durison, okay? The tragic stories, those suicides, the first thing that you just said, which I was trying to identify what has gone wrong in the media, you just said I read where there was a link that CTE caused the death of these two players. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever of that. Mike Webster died of heart failure. Did you know that? Did you know he had a stent in his heart?
I did know that, yes.
Okay, that's what he died of.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever died of CTE. There is no death connected with CTE. because the pattern has been discovered. What about all the other people who passed with the CT pattern? They didn't die. They died of other reasons and never played football. You can't, if you're going to sit there and tell me that, and you can't, to blame something on a suicide would be like saying you know what causes depression.
I'm just trying to understand it. I'm just
okay. Well, that's why. Well, here's the best way to understand it is read the scientific literature, not the paper, and then you're not going to make mistakes by using the word link or cause. There's no scientific evidence of that. Dave Durson had a lot of other things going on in his life, personally, mm-hmm. that are all contributors to where he was in a depressed state. To even go down the road and say cause or link, CT caused that, him to commit suicide, is really grotesquely wrong on a bunch of levels to say anything like that and make blame on that. There's absolutely no scientific evidence of that whatsoever. There's no cause of that. There's no link of that. In fact, there's no scientific evidence anywhere that a pattern of any type of neurodegenerative disease causes somebody to commit suicide. Nothing in the scientific literature of that. In fact, when they don't even know what part of the brain depression is responsible for. Okay, they don't have autopsy and go, aha, we see depression. They don't know what causes depression. They don't know what part of the brain is responsible for depression. So now to say something causes, a pattern caused someone to commit suicide is grotesquely wrong on a bunch of levels, and science will back that up.
Merrill Hodge on the phone with us. Brainwashed is the name of his book. I want to talk about something back in 2002 when an absolute miracle happened to you. You were in a car crash. And if you weren't in that car crash, do you think that the doctors would have discovered that you had cancer?
Well, you know, that's a loaded question. You know,
I know, because I feel like everything in life happens for a reason, and
I agree with you. You might not know this. Listen, I could argue, yes. You know, had I not had to go in and have my shoulder followed up on, and I've been complaining, and I told my doctor, Dr. Bradley, about my back issue, would he have looked further? Could I have gone another month, maybe year, and by then the cancer would have been spread so far? I don't think there's any question that there wasn't divine intervention there. But what you probably don't know is that cancer probably saved my life, because on my last PET CAT scan 5 years later, they identified I had a enlarged aorta, which led to open heart surgery, you know, that I had here about 3 or 4 years ago.
Jeez.
That would have never been discovered had I actually not been doing a PET CAT scan. And I, you know, you don't do PET CAT scans on routinely. That's not something anybody wants to do.
Right.
And it was my last one that they discovered on it. So,
wow. That was your very last CAT scan?
Yes. In fact, I said, now, wait a minute. Wasn't that there the whole time? Hadn't you not seen it?
Oh, gosh.
A different set of eyes saw my scan on my last one, and he just noticed that it was enlargement and I need to have it looked at. And I kept my monitored it for a while. That's a long story in itself, but
wow. That
detection there saved my life.
You got a guardian angel just following you around, man. You really do.
Amen. Amen.
I missed you on Monday mornings on SportsCenter. I would drop my kid off from school. I'd run over to the gym and work out. I'd watch you on TV, and then I'd shower and go to work. I do.
You know what? I love every minute of the 21 years I was there, and I'm grateful for my experience there. But where I am now, doing my motivational speaking, and having the opportunity to write this book and find out really the truth, I would never been able to do that. And I've never been more passionate about something, because I look at this from a parent's perspective. There's a lot of people out there that are unclear, uncertain. They might even be in fear of it. And I'm not trying to change anybody's mind either, too, Peter. I'm trying to open your mind and give you all the facts. I've spent years and years on this. And if I would have found the antithesis of that, my son, who started playing at age 7, who's a quarterback at BYU, mm-hmm. I'd yank him out of football immediately. Even though he's 22 years old right now, I'd pull him out if I thought the opposite, or I found the antithesis of that in the scientific literature. And I don't. And I not only did I not, I find the contrary. You know, where sports are, the environment that exists today, it's the safest, best environment we've had in the history of sports. And if I gave a parent a chance for their kids to play in any era, if they didn't pick today, they are really uninformed about how great sports are with our protocols, our treatments, our therapies, instruction, and equipment.
Well, Merrill, before you go, I want to ask you about championship Sunday. NFC Championship, Rams at the Saints, 2:05 start tomorrow. Who are you taking and why?
You know what, actually, I just had this discussion with Dr. Cummings, who's the part of my doctor in my book.
Right.
He's taking the Saints as blowing them out. And I actually like the Rams. And the Saints, listen, I think all these teams are very good football teams. The Rams, when I went back and looked at the tape, there's some players that didn't play in the first matchup, I think, make a little difference in this one. And there were some things I believe they can clean up and take advantage of the Saints, more so than the Saints can take advantage of the Rams. And as much as I want Kansas City to win, here's what I think the wild card is in the AFC. I just think the Patriots, their ability to change schematically defensively is their wild card. They make such dramatic changes week in and week out, depending on their opponent. And then the next time they see if it's in the same year, they bring a completely different game plan. There'll be some similar concepts, but they bring wrinkles that usually can make the difference. It's hard to bet against Brady, but I think their defense makes the difference. And they might pull up the upset in Kansas City.
Really? You're taking the Patriots over the Chiefs?
I just got done watching actually their first matchup, and they did some things defensively that really posed problems for Kansas City, and I can see how they can build on that, and it creates some problems. I forget the running back that got suspended. His name is just escaping me right now. He played in that first matchup, and he made a bunch of significant different plays in that game. Mm-hmm. They don't have that playmaker in this one. And so I see it as the Patriots and the Rams going to the Super Bowl.
Patriots and the Rams going to the Super Bowl. Look at that. Merrill Hodge. Merrill, thanks for coming on this Saturday night. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Pete. Take care, buddy.
We'll talk soon.
All the best to you.
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dave Hoekstra is coming in next. We have never met. This is very nice. You're the legend, man.
I know who you are.
How you doing?
Thanks for having me.
You and I both have something in common. We went to Ireland on Steve Bertrand travel.
When did you go?
2 years ago. It was wonderful. I can't wait to go back.
Did you go? We did Northern Ireland.
We did Northern Ireland. We started in Dublin and went north. We saw, did you see Van Morrison in Belfast?
Yeah, that's what we did.
The Belfast Cowboy in Belfast. It doesn't get any better than that.
It was like a supper club type. You probably went to the same place.
Yeah, the exact same place. Yeah. They do it once a year. He comes in. He's crabby, but he sounds great.
Yeah. And you know what we did? We kind of went rogue, and we went and found his birthplace. I don't know if that was part of the tour, but we got a little driver and stuff, and went.
You're kidding.
Cypress Avenue.
If really?
You're a big fan. He does a song called Cypress Avenue.
Sure, absolutely.
And that was fun.
Wow, I just went to the city and just went bar hopping.
Yeah.